Hare Krishna. Welcome everyone to the Sunday Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita class. It's my honor and privilege to be able to speak from this most wonderful of all literatures. And today we will be continuing our reading and discussion from Madhya Leela, chapter number 10, entitled The Lord Returns to Jagannath Puri. And today we will be covering verses 137 to 139. So 137 has no purport, and so does 138, and it's 139 that has the purport, so we will chant 139 responsively, and 137 and 38, I'll recite that myself. So just a little bit of the context of this class. I'm not sure how many of you all were present for Maharaj's class yesterday, either in person or online. But this is a continuation of those verses. And the crux, or the central point of the verses we are discussing, or going to be discussing today, is Krishna's mercy. What is it dependent on? And what it is not dependent on? Now we all praying and hoping to be recipients of Krishna's mercy. So this is very relevant verses for us. And we'll speak a bit later about that. Translation by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and my spiritual master Ishvara Puri are completely independent. Therefore, neither the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead nor that of Ishvara Puri is subjected to any Vedic rules and regulations. Ishvarera kripa jati kuladina mane vidu rera gare Krishna karila bhojane. Translation. The mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not restricted to the jurisdiction of caste and creed. Vidura was a Shudra, yet Krishna accepted lunch at his home. So this is the verse we will do together, so you can feel free to repeat after me. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Krishna's mercy is dependent only on affection. Being obliged only by affection, Lord Krishna acts very independently. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is merciful. But his mercy does not depend on mundane rules and regulations. He is dependent only on affection and nothing else. Service to Lord Krishna can be rendered in two ways. One can serve the Lord in affection or in veneration. When service is rendered in affection, it is the Lord's special mercy. When service is rendered in veneration, it is doubtful whether Krishna's mercy is actually involved. If Krishna's mercy is there, it is not dependent on any prescribed caste or creed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to inform Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that Lord Krishna is the spiritual master of everyone and he does not care for mundane caste or creed. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cited the example of Lord Krishna's accepting food at the house of Vidura, who was a Shudra by birth. By the same token, Ishwarapuri, an empowered spiritual master, can show mercy to anyone. As such, he accepted Govinda, although the boy was born in a Shudra family. When Govinda was initiated, he became a Brahmana and was accepted as Ishwarapuri's personal servant. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sri Sanatana Goswami states that one who is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master immediately becomes a Brahmana. A Sudha spiritual master cannot transform a person into a Brahmana, but an authorized spiritual master can do so. This is the verdict of Shastra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Goswamis. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yathapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutan Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patita Avanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Madhara Srivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Vishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadeshatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So this chapter is entitled The Lord Returns to Jagannath Puri. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu toured the south of India and he was away for 2 years. And when Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath Puri, news reached the devotees. And the devotees being very eager to be with the Lord, many of them started to appear to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we've been reading in the previous verses to this the names of the different personalities. And the latest personality we've been reading about who had come to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Govinda. Govinda was a godbrother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Both of them being disciples of Ishwarapuri. And Govinda was the personal servant of Ishwarapuri. And he was sent, which we'll read about in the future verses, to come and actor servant for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in that meeting, when Govinda came to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu was in the presence of his other associates. One of those associates was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked an interesting question of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said, Ishvarapuri was a Brahmin and he was in the renounced order of life. But he accepted Govinda, who was coming from a Shudra background, as his servant. How is that? Yesterday's class, someone asked the question of Maharaj, how is it that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, having taken fully-fledged devotional service, being a pure devotee of the Lord, could ask such a question? And the only reason we could infer, actually it so happened, I was listening to the class online and Maharaj answered that question, I had to do something else, so I missed the answer. But the reason we can infer is that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to provoke some very pertinent and important points about the principles of bhakti and devotional service. And we see that happened. It happened. So three verses we're discussing today, 137, 138 and 139. So 137, is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's response. So how did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu respond to the question from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? So the first response from Mahaprabhu is based on the Supreme Personality of Godhead being Swatantra. What is the meaning of Swatantra? Independent. Yeah, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna is completely independent. He is free to act how and when he wants. He is not bound by any regulations, any scriptural injunctions, any norms. He can act as he pleases. And that's the meaning of God. He's not bound. And he can act exactly as he wants. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not only talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead being independent, but he also says that Ishvarapuri is completely independent, Swatantra. So this quality of Swatantra, independence, it applies not only to Krishna, but according to Mahaprabhu, it also applies to his pure devotees. They are not bound to act in any particular way. And in text number 38, Mahaprabhu elaborates on that. And he says, the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not restricted to the jurisdiction of caste and creed. Caste means according to any of the vanas and the ashrams. And creed means not according to any particular belief. Now we see this is a very, very important point, both in the pastimes of Lord Krishna and the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yesterday Maharaj was making the point that, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost of all shastras. And we notice something very particular about Srimad Bhagavatam as compared to other scriptures. And the particular aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam is that Srila Vyasadeva, he goes out of his way to establish this particular point. That Lord Krishna is not dependent on any caste and creed. And Maharaj, in his class yesterday, he gave one example. The norm in society, the norm in the world is husbands are considered to be higher than wives. Brahmins are considered to be higher than Shudras. Demigods are considered to be higher than demons. Human beings are considered to be higher than animals. So that is the status quo. But Srila Vyasadeva, to make this particular point that how bhakti trumps everything else, he does something very unique in the Bhagavatam. He reverses the roles. And the one example Maharaj gave in class yesterday is the wives of the brahmanas becoming greater than the Brahmins. Srila Prabhupada talks about that. That the brahmanas, they were sitting, conducting the fire sacrifice. It's the tradition that the wife must sit next to the husband to make the sacrifice complete. Krishna and Balaram and the boys came. They were hungry. The brahmanas were chanting the mantras and saying swaha, putting grains into the fire. And the fire is the mouth of Vishnu. And the origin of all Vishnu, Krishna, comes there and asks for food. And they say, go away, you're disturbing me. And the wives of the brahmanas, what do they do? Krishna, you want to eat? Prabhupada explains, they get up from the sacrifice, they go to cater for whatever Krishna wants. So the wives become greater than the brahmanas. Then we have the story of Prahlad Maharaj. Little boy, 5 years old. We have big Hiranyakashipu. We even have Lord Narsingadev. This pastime of Prahlad Narsingha, it is a very ancient pastime existing in the Vedas. And when it's told in the Vedas, Lord Narsingadev is the hero. Lord Narsingadev is given prominence. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10 chapters are dedicated towards the pastime of Lord Narsingadev and Prahlad. And according to devotee scholars, about 6 of those chapters are dedicated to Prahlad, not Lord Narsingadev. So Lord Narsingadev becomes more glorified. The same, the pastime of Bali Maharaj and Lord Vamanadev. In the Vedas, this is an ancient story depicted. Lord Vamanadev is the hero. Little bit about Bali Maharaj. But in the Bhagavatam, what does Vyasadev do? Bali Maharaj is giving prominence. The demon. And then we have the story of Vritrasura and Indra. An amazing story. Pastime. The battle is taking place. Here is the demigod Indra, the chief of all the demigods. And he's fighting with Vritrasura. And Vritrasura strikes Indra and he drops his thunderbolt. And Indra is without any weapon. And Vritrasura can kill him. And Vritrasura tells Indra, and Indra becomes morose. And he tells Indra, why are you morose? Stand up and fight. You are a demigod. And then Indra, he praises Vritrasura. He's saying, well, you know, you are a devotee of the Lord. You are fearless. and you are not worried. And in the Bhagavatam we see this amazing, amazing section where Indra, the demigod, the chief of the demigods, he is glorifying Vritrasura, the demon. So we see in the Bhagavatam, throughout the Bhagavatam, this is just a few examples, we see there's a reversal of the traditional models just to make this one single point that Lord Krishna does not follow the status quo. Lord Krishna does not follow the norm, neither does the devotees. It is bhakti that triumphs everything. And Krishna is completely free to act. And we see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is also making the same point in a very deliberate way. Namacharya, the acharya of the holy names. Mahaprabhu came to establish the Sankirtan movement or the chanting of the holy names. And who does he make the acharya of the holy names? Haridas Thakur, who comes from a Mohammedan background. Then he has the conversation, the highest conversation. Mahaprabhu had many philosophical conversations, but what is considered to be the most, the highest, the most intimate conversation was the conversation between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what was Ramananda Rai's background? He was a Shudra. He was a governor. But Mahaprabhu takes the position of student, and he makes Ramananda Rai take the position of teacher. And then Rupa Goswami, the Rasa Acharya. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Jai Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Jai Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai. Rasa Acharya, Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami, he came from a Brahmin family, but he eventually was considered to have become a Muslim because he took up service in the government of the Nawab Hussein Shah and, you know, adopted their appearance and some of their ways. Not only that, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he extended his mercy not only to the Shudra class, but even to the animal class. And we know the pastime of Shivananda Sen and his dog, and where Mahaprabhu eventually was found to be feeding the dog coconut pulp and asking the dog to chant Hare Krishna. And then he liberated the dogs. So we see these in the pastimes of the Lord and his great devotees. We know Srila Prabhupada came to the West, and he didn't look at what background one came from. Dog eaters, cow killers, illicit sex mongers, drug addicts. As long as they were eager to take to the process of Krishna consciousness, he accepted them. And as Prabhupada says, he even gave them Brahman initiation. There's one story. When Srila Prabhupada was opening the Krishna Balaram temple, he was extending invitations to various parties. And to one party he extended was the chief of all the Mayavadi sannyasis. And he sent Yashomati Nandan Prabhu to go invite this great sannyasi. And this sannyasi, when Yashomati Nandan Prabhu went there, he said, I'm inviting you to the opening of our Krishna Balaram Mandir. Will you please come? And his immediate response was, no. I will not come. Why? Because your Guru Maharaj, He has spoiled Vedic culture. He has spoiled Vedic culture, and he has given Brahman initiations to people who are not. So, but Yashomati Nandan Prabhu, he was taught by Srila Prabhupada one particular verse from the Bhagavatam, and I can't remember, it's from the seventh canto. It starts with Yasya Lal. Yes. So this verse is spoken by Narad Muni. And basically Narad Muni is saying in this verse, one is not a Brahmana by birth, but like one is Brahmana by the qualities. So Yashomati Nandan Prabhu immediately quoted this verse. And this big sannyasi was shocked. He didn't know what to say because he was quoting Shastra, which was direct, so clear. And then Prabhupada said, how did he respond? He said, well, that may be so. But there is tiger and there's tiger-like. Tiger will always be tiger. So they can be tiger-like, mean Brahman-like, but they can never be Brahmanas. And Prabhupada says, just see this envy among them. So the acharyas, they have this prerogative, to see above the words and the rules and the regulations of the shastras, and to extend their mercy to everyone. There's a beautiful pastime with Srila Prabhupada. When he first came to the UK, in London, he lived in Titanest, the estate of John Lennon. And Srila Prabhupada would go through his walks, through the gardens and the forests on the estate. So after some time, Srila Prabhupada was leaving Titanest and they were driving him off. And this is narrated in the Prabhupada Lilamrita. And then Prabhupada asked the devotee to stop the car. And he says, I have to say goodbye to some friends. So he walked over to some of the trees. He touched them. He jumped back on his car and he went off. And he said the next day there was a huge storm and lightning struck some of those trees and they died. So this is the mercy of the Lord and his pure devotees. It extends far beyond traditional social norms and so on. So we've just been discussing, there's another pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, an interesting pastime that demonstrates the independence. And Srila Prabhupada actually spoke about this in a class in San Francisco. Prabhupada discusses this word, swatantra, independence. And he discusses this verse in the context of Mahaprabhu going to Benares. So Mahaprabhu, a beautiful sannyas with his danda, goes to Benares. And when he goes to Benares, he doesn't live with the other sannyasis. He goes and lives in the house of Chandrasekhar. Now, Chandrasekhar, Prabhupada explains, was a clerk in the government. And the clerk is considered, according to Vedic system, to be a Shudra. So he stayed in the house of Chandrasekhar. He took his meals there. And the other sannyasis were like in an uproar. What kind of sannyas is this? It's a strict injunction that we must live only with alone or live in the house of a brahmana. But he is living in the house of Shudra. And they categorize Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a low-class sannyas. He sings and he dances in the streets. He lives in the house of a Shudra. He's a very low-class sannyas. Bhuva Bhavikaha. Sentimentless. And Prabhupada says in that class, this is the Lord. He's completely independent. He can live in the as a shudra, and he can even come as a hog. Prabhupada says, a hog is a very low animal. But he can choose to come as a hog. And Prabhupada says, sometimes this hog, Varaha, he shakes his body, and when he shakes his body, water comes flying off his body, and he touches different people. And people think to themselves, oh, we've become purified now. Normally, if you're next to a hog and he shakes his body and the water comes on you, you've got to take a bath immediately. So the Lord, he can act completely independently as he wants. He's not bound up by any particular rules and regulations. Now we come to the very interesting verse and purport 139. Right? So we've been discussing what Krishna's mercy is not dependent on, and now Mahaprabhu elaborates and speaks upon what Krishna's mercy is dependent on. And the word sneha is used twice in this verse. And Prabhupada translates sneha as affection. Actually, it's very difficult. I mean, you know, when we hear of affection, we can put affection in a certain context. I have affection for my dog, I have affection for my wife, I have affection for my child, I have affection for so many things. But this is not ordinary affection. This is a very deep affection coming from the soul. And we'll speak about that. One particular aspect of this affection is clarified by Srila Prabhupada in the purport. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that there is two types of service that can be rendered. First is service that's rendered with veneration. And secondly, there is service that is rendered with affection. And then Prabhupada says something very amazing. He said, when we see service rendered with veneration, we can understand that Krishna's mercy is not involved. But when we see service rendered with affection, then we know Krishna's special mercy is here. When I first read this purport, the first thing I did was clipped it and I put it in one note. It just struck me so much, you know, that this was such a profound statement. But how do we understand it? So there's two aspects of this. Firstly, we must understand what is the affection being spoken about here. And secondly, we must understand the mercy. We must understand the mercy. And it is interesting, in the Adilila, chapter number 3, where there is discussion about the reasons for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. And Mahaprabhu, he makes some very interesting and profound statements about his appearance. And this is Adilila, the external reasons for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Text number 15. And Mahaprabhu says, everywhere in the world, people worship me according to scriptural injunctions. But simply by following such regulative principles, one cannot attain the loving sentiments of the devotees in Vrajabhumi. Knowing my opulences, this text number 16, the whole world looks upon me with awe and reverence. But devotion made feeble by such reverence does not attract me. By performing such regulated devotional service in awe and veneration, one may go to Vaikuntha and attain the four kinds of liberation. So Mahaprabhu is saying something very interesting and applicable here to us. And it clarifies the term affection nicely. Because Mahaprabhu is saying the residents of Vaikuntha, they worship me with awe and veneration. Does it mean that the residents of Vaikuntha do not have affection for the Lord? No. We all know the residents of Vaikuntha have affection for the Lord. So the affection that Mahaprabhu is talking about here is a very particular type of affection. And that is the affection that is imbued with intimacy. That is the affection that is not bound by rules and regulations. And later on, Mahaprabhu says, he's talking about a particular type of rasa, either dasya ras, sakya ras, vatsalya ras, and madhurya ras. And Mahaprabhu says, the affection he's talking about here is the affection as seen by the residents of Vrindavan. If we go and we observe the affection of the residents of Vrindavan, we notice it has a very special flavor. And that flavor is, it's not bound by rules and regulations. And to make this particular point, Srila Prabhupada told the famous story of Krishna having a headache. So Krishna was in Dwaraka, and one day he called his physicians and he declared, I've got a serious headache. So the physicians said, okay, we'll administer you some medications. And they administered Krishna some medications, and still his headache persisted. So the physician says, we don't know what to do. And Krishna says, I'll give you the prescription that can sort my headache out. He said, if I get the dust from the feet of my devotees and that's put on my head, then my headache will go away. He said, okay. So they went around Dwaraka saying, Krishna's got a headache. And he needs the dust from the lotus feet of his devotees. Can someone give, please? We give Krishna dust from our feet? You're crazy. That's the biggest offense. We can't do that. Then they went to Narad Muni. Some dust from your feet, please. Why? Krishna got headache. He needs it on his head. No. You think I'm a fool to create such an offense? So they go back to Krishna and report back. Nobody wants to give dust from their feet. They're all afraid of creating an offense against you. Krishna says, okay, okay. Problem solved. You go to Vrindavan, see the gopis, ask them for dust. So they go to Vrindavan, meet the gopis. Can you give some dust from your feet? Why? Krishna got a headache. He needs dust from the feet of his devotees. Oh yeah, take. Take dust. Give it to Krishna. And they ask, you're not afraid of the offenses? we don't care for offenses. Our only concern is the pleasure of Krishna. Our only concern is the pleasure of Krishna. And then Prabhupada says, this is the nature of the service of the residents of Vrindavan. It is imbued with a special type of intimacy. And Prabhupada says sometimes Krishna is fed up of this service of awe and veneration. He's fed up. He wants to experience rasa, where there's no blockages to the intimacy. It's free-flowing intimacy. And this is the type of intimacy that Srila Prabhupada is alluding to in this purport. And that is not easy. You know, sometimes we may hear this and thinking, okay, enough with my veneration. From tomorrow, I'm going to be very intimate with Krishna. I'm going to offer intimate service. I will go to the altar and I'll see Radha Gokulananda in the mood of Radha and Krishna. And Prabhupada said, don't you dare. You see them in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. You worship them in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan, in the mood of awe and reverence. Why? Because this is not something cheap. Cheap is sahajya. The literal translation of sahajya means to take something very exalted cheaply. There's a process, there's a level of purification that has to come before we can enter into the realm of intimacy. And Prabhupada is making the point here. This is not something you can achieve. This mood of intimacy is not something we can achieve. It is something that has to be received. So how do we receive this mood of intimacy? There's different explanations given. One explanation is that at the stage of bhava bhakti, when Krishna becomes pleased with the sadhaka who has performed regulative devotional service, sadhana bhakti, in a certain mood of love and dedication to the spiritual master, it is said at that point Krishna feels inclined and he will bestow upon this devotee something called the Kripa Shakti. And it is explained that this Kripa Shakti has two main constituents. One is the Samvit Shakti and the other is the Ladini Shakti. Samvit Shakti means the knowledge-giving potency. And Ladini Shakti means the pleasure-giving potency. So when Krishna bestows this Kripa Shakti, the Samvit potency on the devotee, it's like a Eureka moment, like a bulb lighting up. Because Krishna is bestowing the devotee with knowledge about himself. And then we get to know Krishna like we've never known Krishna before. And then secondly, when Krishna bestows the Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency, Krishna becomes attracted. Krishna becomes attracted to devotee and to interact with the devotee. So someone may say, this seems like a vicious circle. That to get affection, this type of affection imbued with intimacy, I need the mercy of Krishna. But to get the mercy of Krishna, I need to be I have affection for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains that, and Prabhupada gave this formula. And Prabhupada says, if you simply chant your 16 rounds, follow the regulative principles, and do whatever you can to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, he said, I will guarantee you go back to Godhead. And Prabhupada gave the formula of really dedicating our life and our time and our efforts and our energy and taking whatever risks we can to propagate Krishna consciousness. That attracts the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna. The other way we can get mercy, obviously, is the mercy of Nam Prabhu, the holy name of Krishna, who is not different from Krishna. And that comes when we reach the stage of Sudanam. Even then, it almost seems like a vicious circle. I was talking to one devotee recently who chants 64 rounds every day. And he was telling me, forget Sudanam unless you come to the point of 64 rounds every day. And I was thinking, oh my God, I'm finished. He said, you got to come. Prabhupada says 16 rounds minimum. And if you're just doing 16 rounds, that's nothing. You got to do your 64 rounds. Then you will have some chance to come. And then I read something that gave me some solace. And I read that how Nam Prabhu, being a person, he shows mercy not only by quota, but also by service. How we want to serve Nam Prabhu. How we want to dedicate ourselves to the service of Nam Prabhu. And Nam Prabhu can give us that mercy. So these are some points. I just want to see if there's anything else I missed. Yeah, I think that's the gist of what I wanted to convey today. That service and intimacy is pleasing to Krishna. That's what Krishna wants. That's what we want. This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. And he specifically said that, you know, I've come to give what has not been given before. And that is the mood or service in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. And by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, we can develop that mood. But Mahaprabhu has taught us that we can't shortcut the process. We have to follow the process, and part of the process is sadhana bhakti. And the way the process works, from sadhana, rag will develop, and we can achieve what Srila Prabhupada is talking about in this verse. So thank you very much. I'll stop here. See if there's any questions, comments, corrections, reflections that anyone has. Yes, Dayal Baladev Prabhu. Is a mic going around?
Now you're talking about independence, and how that's in one lecture, Govinda Maharaj, he mentions that Krishna is fully independent, But as jivas, we have my new independence. But he says in this lecture, this my new independence is an invaluable gem because it can take us to Krishna. But this independence has to be used properly. Either it can take us to Maya or take us to Krishna.
Very nice.
And also we can see how that verse, Radha Purna Shakti, Krishna Purna Shakti Man, where in Vrindavan, Radha and Krishna, in Goloka Vrindavan, they're together, but for sake of pastimes, they become independent. For the sake of the pastimes. But in Gaura Leela, Radha and Krishna come together. So it was also an important point. It struck me the other day that Radharani also has this independence. So she came as Gadadhar Pandit. And who did Lord Chaitanya hear the Bhagavatam from?
Gadadhar Pandit.
Only from Gadadhar Pandit did Lord Chaitanya hear the Bhagavatam from.
Thank you.
And finish it. Also, you're talking about Nam, the glorification of the Bhagavatam. Govinda knows the verse I mentioned the other day. The last verse of the Bhagavatam in the 12th canto is a glorification of Nam Sankirtan.
True.
That's the very last verse in Bhagavatam. Glorification of Nam Sankirtan. So that Bhagavatam is, you could say, predicting the appearance of Lord Chaitanya.
Yes.
Who came to give Nam Sankirtan.
Definitely. In his book, Chaitanya Charitamrita Compact, Keshav Swami has a nice diagram. He says, Bhagavad Gita starts off, you're not the body, you're the spirit soul. Bhagavad Gita ends up, that abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. I will protect you from all sinful reactions, and not fear. Srimad Bhagavatam starts off with Dharma Projita, Kaita Vatra, that rejecting all cheating religions, this Bhagavatam propounds the highest truth. And Bhagavatam ends with the verse you just quoted, or you're referring to, that the chanting of the holy names is the most important. And Chaitanya Charitamrita starts off with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying that I've come to establish the Sankirtan movement. And Chaitanya Charitamrita ends with the highest Krishna prema. So what you're saying, Prabhu, that Bhagavatam ends establishing as the chanting of the holy names as the summum bonum of all practices, that's where Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita starts, and that's where Mahaprabhu starts his pastimes. Hare Krishna. Prayojan Prabhu, you behind you.
There's one little pastime for me. Mother Kalangana, bless her. She saw the way I did my service, and she says, "Oh, this is very, very nice. Very, very nice." But the only one thing, she said, you must serve with love and kindness.
Must serve with love and?
Kindness.
And kindness.
So, and that was like a knife. Because I like to do things efficiently. And all this sort of thing. Rules, regulations, and that's from my industrial background. No, we can't do this, you know. And another one that my Guru Maharaj related to was that actually, whoever speaks Bhagavatam, no matter who they are, there's another ingredient that actually, he said that as long as you sit there, the Bhagavatam is the same words as what Krishna did to come and rescue the world. It was a causeless mercy, and so therefore, basically, Bhagavatam was a he's jumping over everything, and so because if you serve, he says, a shortcut, you know, even if you're the most hopeless person, that if you really, the shortcut is that you serve your spiritual master. Serve a spiritual master so sincerely, even though you can't follow things. He says you must take to this. You know, even if you're sleepy, you still got to do it. You have to endure it, and then just beg for forgiveness. Just beg. Please help me. I'm the most foolish person. And this was the message of Mother Kalangana. Love and kindness jumps over everything, and it's got to be there. You don't worry about that. It's got to be the affection that's there. Just like Bhakti Tarusami says, we must please the spiritual master first. And if we don't follow that and go our own independent way and just speak to these so-called advanced devotees in Radha Kund and God knows what, then we're not following our spiritual master. We have to. It's his rule. We follow Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. You know, we must do that. So don't worry about it.
In terms of serving with affection, I wanted to say one nice story I heard. Once answered to Ashila Prabhupada, what if I serve 24 hours a day, but I don't chant 16 rounds? Is that okay? And Prabhupada said, no. He says, if you don't chant 16 rounds, then your service will become simply karma. It'll become ordinary activity. What makes your service, devotional service, is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Otherwise, it's simply karma. It's the mood. It's the mood, the consciousness that transforms an activity. So Prabhupada also, you know, emphasized so much the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is because through the chanting that the affection which is naturally within the heart of all living entities will arise, will awaken. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
My question was, so on one hand, you see Prabhupada saying the purport that, you know, whilst there is no affection, it's doubtful whether Krishna's mercy is involved. But, and we understand that that comes at the point of Raghunuga Bhakti. And, but at the same time, we understand that, you know, not a blade of grass moves, and we can see Krishna's hand in our life. So how do I equate those two things? If it's doubtful that Krishna's mercy is involved, but at the same time, you know, we have some sense that Krishna's mercy is involved.
Yeah, it depends on which context we're looking at mercy. You know, even to be sitting here in this temple, we have to have received some mercy of Krishna, you know, or the spiritual master, you know, and the spiritual master. So I the way I see that, it's just looking at the word mercy from two different contexts, You know, Krishna's mercy is always there. You know, every step that, you know, Krishna, Prabhupada says, you take one step towards Krishna, he takes hundreds of steps towards you. When we attempt to connect with Krishna, his mercy is always there. But there's a special mercy that takes our bhakti beyond the stage of awe and reverence to the stage of intimacy. And that's another type of mercy from Krishna. It's a very particular type of mercy. Very unique. And does that answer your question?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you Krishna. For the nice class. You mentioned about how bhakti trumps everything and how bhakti is not bound by the rules and regulations. So I was just wondering if we should apply this and how we can apply this in the context of an organization.
Very interesting question. I think we have to... we have to look towards the instructions that given to us by the acharyas, all the way from Rupa Goswami, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and even Srila Prabhupada, they came under a lot of criticism for giving more emphasis on sadhana bhakti, bhakti following rules and regulation, as opposed to raganuga bhakti. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, and then I was giving the particular example of deity worship, Srila Prabhupada was very, very particular, stick to the mood of worshipping them as Lakshmi Narayan, awe and reverence and opulence. So in the context of an organization, I think if we simply stick to the teachings and the mood of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, that this is not cheap. It will arise naturally if we follow the process. And don't try to fast track or shortcut the process. And we have it in our organization, quite a history of people saying, you know, Prabhupada has not given us everything, we need to go somewhere else, or we need to go to the Babaji's. I posted one story recently. I would say it was such a brilliant story. It's about Radhakund Mataji, who is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Radhakund Mataji has been a book distributor an entire life. She's now retired to Vrindavan, and she distributes books in Vrindavan. She stands outside Srila Prabhupada Samadhi, and she gives out books. So one day she went to Radhakund, and she met a Babaji there. And she was just so taken up by this Babaji. And this Babaji said, I will give you a mantra. He asked her, do you want the mercy of Srimati Radharani? And she said, of course. And she said, the Babaji said, okay, you come to Radhakund every day, and I'll give you this mantra, and you chant this mantra. So she was going to Radhakund every day, meeting the Babaji, taking some water from Radhakund and chanting this Radhakund, this mantra that he had given her. But the consequence of that was, where she would be spending time distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, she was taking up the time going to Radhakund and coming back every day, chanting this mantra. So one day she had a dream. And in that dream, Srila Prabhupada came to her, caught her by the hand, dragged her all the way to Radhakund, took her to the bottom of Radhakund, right to the depths of Radhakund. And there Srila Prabhupada had a massive book table with lots of books, full of books. Yeah? And he could see hands reaching out, and they were saying, a book for me, a book for me. And Prabhupada was just giving out the books. And she's saying, and he looked to her and said, fool, are you going to help me or not? Don't you realize the real mood of Srimati Radharani? Her mood is she wants to attract souls to Krishna, and that's how you'll get the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And she said she got up with a sweat, and she never went ever went back to Radhakund again. She sat in the samadhi and she distributed Srila Prabhupada's books. Any other questions, comments? We've got a few minutes left. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, sorry. Don't. No jai. There's something very important I wanted to say. We've got this display of books here. And I just spoke about book distribution. And Srila Prabhupada said, I want every respectable family to have a full set of Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the lifetimes of service he has given us. So this, every year during Gaur Purnima, we set our goal to distribute sets of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The worldwide goal this year is 2,300 sets. Bhaktivedanta Manor's goal is 50 sets. So far, with 1 week to go to Gaur Purnima, we've only distributed 5 sets. We've got 45 to do for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada in a week. So dear devotees, if you have a set, you can gift a set. If you have a set, you can distribute a set. Or you can sponsor a set. So we are appealing to the entire community at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Please, in the last week of our Gaur Purnima Marathon, please get involved. Even if you don't distribute, actually, try to. And the first law of books distribution is the more you show, the more you sell. So we want to show. It is said for every 10 people you show the book, maybe one will take. So we want to show Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita to 500 people in 1 week. So we request your effort. Please get involved. It's only £75. If you take a set, you get the full audiobook, you get the Vidya series of Bhagavad Pravaha, you get the Chaitanya Charitamrita compact, and so on. So if you haven't got Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, His Holiness Devamrita Swami said, when we look at Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are looking at a miracle. Srila Prabhupada translated the entire 11,519 verses within the space of about 18 months. If you analyze that mathematically, it's impossible. It's a miracle. And but Srila Prabhupada did it. And he asked them to print the entire volumes in 3 months. That's another miracle which we'll talk about. So this book we're looking at is a miracle. In it we will find out all of the wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanande. So, Chukuja Venam Prabhu will be up in the out in the foyer. Anyone wants a set, who wants to find out how you can distribute, how you can take a set to distribute, you can meet Chukuja Prabhu or I can meet me after the class. Thank you. Hare Krishna.